to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. It says, "Then Abraham went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been in the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen and Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abraham said to Lot, 'Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is it not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left.' And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were extremely wicked and sinful against the Lord. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, 'Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you.' That Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the timber trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord." Father God, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the insight that you give us, Lord, even in a time of trouble. Lord, you are there with us, Lord, and even when things do not work out the way we think they should, you are with us. And Lord, As reading this chapter, I'm reminded, Lord, that if we keep our eyes upon you and listen to you, that you will lead us in the right direction. So, Father, I just pray, Lord, that through this lesson that we will learn, Lord, by your servant Abraham and Lot, that if we follow you, if we follow your plans, everything will be all right. So, Father, I just thank you. Bless the words that are about to be spoken, and bless your people who hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, Gino ended this sermon by saying, "Turn your eyes to Jesus, be obedient to his calling, let his love eclipse all your affections and regrets as you revert back down the path he has called you to." And that's one of the things that we have to remember, is that no matter what we go through, sometimes, you know, we start to go into the wrong direction. We take our eyes off the Lord. But when we put our eyes back on him, he will continue to lead us. Because, see, it's all about following his plan. His plan of salvation has already been laid out there for us. Even though there are people today that are trying to make their own plans on how they're going to make it to heaven. I'll get to heaven because I'm nice. I'm getting to heaven because I feed the poor. I'm getting to heaven because I do all these things. But I'll tell you what, if you're not in the plan of God, if you're not following God's plan, then you'll end up like Abram did in the land of Egypt. And things did not go well with Abram in the land of Egypt. So again, it kind of reminds me of a story, thinking about following God. Years ago, I bought my first GPS. And I had to go to Anaheim. I was so happy. I go, now I don't have to worry about being lost. I have a GPS. I felt great. And so I'm on my way, and I'm just thinking, you know, like, you know, and of course you're just feeling joyous when you're going through that wonderful traffic and everything, you know, and it wasn't good. It was horrible. But I'm going, you know, and I'm looking at my new GPS. I'm going, yeah, I'll get there. I won't have to worry about getting lost. Everything is just going to be great. Well, I get there, and I turn my GPS on, and I'm thinking to myself, where is this thing taking me? And before you know it, I'm almost embarrassed to tell you this, but I got lost. I got a GPS, and I got lost. And I don't understand, how in the world did I get lost? Well, you know how I got lost? I stopped listening to the GPS. That's how I got lost. I was lost for 45 minutes. Might have been an hour, but I like 45 minutes. I was lost. And I kept finding myself going right back to the same spot. And so I'm looking at the GPS wondering, what is wrong with this woman? Because it's got a woman's voice. And I'm looking at it, you know, and it's like, man, what are you doing to me? And then I realized that on my GPS, there were letters there. Well, I was listening to it, but I wasn't paying attention to what it was really saying because, you know, the GPS can't tell you everything. So the new ones, how they are now, but underneath it says, okay, when you get to a certain point, get ready to turn at 500 feet. Well, what happened, the reason I kept turning, the voice that was talking to me wasn't saying, okay, it's 500 feet from now. It was the little lettering underneath that I had to pay attention to. So I stopped listening to it, and I wasn't reading it. And it kind of reminds me the same thing as the Word of God. We hear, and we don't hear. We read, we don't hear. We hear, we don't read. We don't put them both together. And it wasn't until I began to listen to the GPS, I had no clue where I was going. I just said, okay, lady, I'm just going to go where you take me. And so when she told me to turn left, I turned left. When she said turn right, I turned right. I stopped asking questions. I didn't know. I mean, I'm looking at places like, where am I, you know? And before you know it, there's Anaheim and there's Disneyland. And I'm thinking, how did I miss this big place? How did I do that? And so this reminds me of Abram. Abram, he's following God. He's doing exactly what God is telling him to do. And then for some unknown reason, he decides, I'm going to go to Egypt. And what happened in Egypt? Pastor Gino, he talked about that. He ran into problems. He had to lie. And then when his lie was found out, what happened? He got kicked out of the country because of his lies. And so the thing is, what we have to realize is that, hey, if you're not keeping your eyes on God, you're going to run into some trouble. You're going to run into problems. Oh, I read the word. Yeah, but do you hear? Oh, I hear the word. Yeah, but do you read? Do you apply it to your life? Do you listen? Even if you're in a place that you really don't recognize, are you still going in the direction of God? And so here it says in the first verse of 13, then Abram went up from Egypt and his wife and all that he had and Lot with him to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. Matter of fact, that's the first time it even talks about anyone being rich. Abram was the first rich man as far as the scriptures are concerned. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. So Abraham ended up just like I did, right back where it started. And I had to say, well, I'm going to listen. That is one time I was glad to hear a woman's voice telling me where to go. I was glad. You know, I said, lady, you know where you're going. I don't. And so, and just to think, I was thinking about changing it to a man's voice. But anyway, after leaving Egypt, Abram went back to the place where he had built an altar the first time that he passed by. And it was there where he had called on the name of the Lord again. It is possible that Abraham finally realized that, you know what? Egypt wasn't the place I was supposed to go. And seeing that's what happens in our lives. We end up going our direction. We end up going the way I think I should go. We start off by following God, but then we begin to question him. We begin to say, God, what are you doing? As I was watching my mother there, you know, I would just, you know, and I'm not bragging or anything, but I'm just thanking God that I knew what he was doing. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to know that. Her time is gone. It has ended. She's now with you. And I had to realize that. She is going to a better place. Matter of fact, I think if she had to come back, she would, you know, it's like, no, I don't want to go back to that place. I miss them. I love them. But I don't want to go back. See, when we truly know who God is, we will follow him no matter what. See, a lot of times we say we love him, but we only love him when things are happening the way we think they should happen. But see, what are you led by? Are you led by? Because the title of this is Following God's Plan. Are you following God's plan today? And if not, why aren't you? And you know, and that's something I had to ask myself. Am I following you, Lord, the way I'm supposed to? I'll tell you what, following God is not a, you know, we're not perfect at that. And I say if we're not asking ourselves that question daily, we're going to get off. We're going to get off track. We're going to get way off track. I thank God for being the one that leads and guides my life. Do you know, and I found this out by Bible study Wednesday, if you were there, about the GPS that Christ has given us. And his name is the Holy Spirit. He leads us. He guides us. He tells us the direction to go. And if we really listen to him, he'll even tell us what to say. But see, the thing is, we have to hear him. We have to follow him. I can't be saying, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to go my direction. Well, you know what? I'll end up being lost again. And see, a lot of times we get lost because we are wanting to do it our way. So he went back to where he began, back to Bethel, back to the tent and to the altar, back doing what he should do. God wants us to walk in our first love and our first works. He has a work for every last one of us to do. But the thing is, we got to keep our eyes on him. I don't know what to do unless I ask him, unless I'm following the great GPS, the Holy Spirit, who speaks to my heart daily. The Holy Spirit speaks to every last one of us every day, but we don't hear him every day. But he's always talking to us. He's always trying to lead us and guide us. You've had that feeling. Man, I shouldn't have came here. I shouldn't have gone that direction. I shouldn't have said that. Something inside of me said I shouldn't have said that. But yet we say it. See, now I'm going by my own emotions. I'm going by my own feelings rather than going by what God has said. And just like God says, I want you to get up, I want you to go. But what does he do? He takes along with him some baggage. Well, his wife was supposed to go. But his nephew wasn't really supposed to go because God said, get up and leave your family. But what did he do? He brought along Lot. And down the road later, he runs into trouble. So our faith in God puts us where we should be, and that is in his love. Faith is the action to our works. Abraham believed, and his actions were the proof of his faith in God. And see, this is where it gets really sticky. See, if I say I'm a believer, that means I'm going to follow him no matter what. That means I'm going to do everything. That means my faith is going to produce what I believe. And you know what that production is? It is the works of faith. In James chapter 2, it says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. This was the deal with Abraham. When God said to Abraham in chapter 12, get up and leave, Abraham didn't just sit there and say, okay, Lord, I'll leave, and just sit there. He got up and he left. That was the actions of his faith. God spoke. He believed what God said when God said, I'm going to show you a different place. So he moved. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. Now, we say that we have faith in God, But yet we do not do the totality of the things that God has placed in our hearts to do that should be automatic. And that is to love one another. That is to produce that faith that says, hey, I will not allow the body of Christ to be in wanting of anything. But yet we do that. The body of Christ all over the world is in need of something. And it's in need of people. But yet what happens is that we do not put that faith to work. And then we wonder, why can't we hear God? You're not going to hear God because we plug up our ears because of the things that we want to do. See, if Abraham was truly listening to God, he would have never ended up in Egypt. He would have never had to lie. He would have never had to done the things that he did while he was in Egypt. He would have never got kicked out of Egypt. And see, and that's what goes on in our life. There's things that we do to ourselves, and then we say, well, God is just taking me through something. No, he's not. You're taking you through something. You're the one that's doing it. I'm the one to put myself in trouble. When I was in my 20s and I had no clue about money, just spend it as it come, I'm like, oh, God, help me. Help me, Lord. The enemy is after me. No, it's not. It's me. I did it. I don't remember seeing the devil's hands like with that credit card. Woo-hoo! It's on sale. Wow. I learned a lot with those credit cards. Get 10% off with 16% interest. In the 19th verse of chapter 2 of James, it says, you believe there is one God, you do well. Hey, you're doing good. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? He's saying, hey, see, it's not your works that's going to get you into heaven. It is our faith that's going to get us into heaven. You see? See, I have a heart, I have lungs, and I breathe. And if I stop breathing, my body will start flopping around on the ground like a fish. Because without it, I can't breathe. So the thing is, if I have faith, then something is going to be produced there. And it's going to be the same thing that Abraham was producing. And that was, he got up, he walked. He did exactly what God said. Faith is a verb. It is an action. It is something that we do, and we see the works of it. So here, God looks at Abraham, says, you know what? I'm going to count the things that you're doing. I'm going to give you righteousness because of that. It wasn't because of his works. It was because of his faith. You see? And it was his faith that did the moving. He went and he did exactly what God said. And so this is what we have to do as a people of believers. We have to say, I believe in God. Because the thing is, just to say you believe in God, you know, Paul says, hey, Satan believes in God and he trembles. But is Satan serving God? No, he's not. But are you serving God? Then we have to say, I hope you are. I hope I'm serving God. You have to say that and check out the word of God and apply it to your life. And it says here, the 26th verse, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. See, it's dead. So, we have to look at this life and say, okay, I say I have faith, but am I producing the works of my faith? And see, again, when you go into chapter 13 First Corinthians, what does it say? Though I give my body to be burned, works. Though I feed the poor, works. Though I sacrifice myself, or I'll do all these things, without love, it's nothing. And see, if I don't have a love with my Father in heaven, then it's nothing. It just works. So Paul said, my faith is the thing that's producing what I'm doing. It is by faith that I stand before you now. It is the works that are being put forth. You know, I had to work at this. I had to study and pray, tremble, say, oh God, what is going on? My mind is not getting this. And yet, you know, the Lord just says, trust in me, and I'll give you what to say. That's a tough one. Lord, I want to say this. I want to say, no, don't say that. This is what I want you to say. Or this is the direction I want you to go. Following God Following God is the key to a successful Christian life. It is not giving tithe. It's not laying hands on the sick. It is not doing miracles. God could care less about that. He wants our faith. He wants our trust. He wants to see us producing what we say that we believe. See, we need to stop saying, oh, I'm so this and I'm so that. But I have faith. You know, I'll tell you what. Trust does not complain. Trust follows. And I saw my mom. My mom did not complain. She didn't go, oh, my back hurts. Oh, this hurts. Oh, that hurts. She just sat there and smiled on her face. I remember the nurses always said, man, she's always got that smile. And what I was seeing my mom doing, she was producing her trust in God. She was showing, hey, I have no worries. I'm trusting in the Lord. Amen. I remember when she told me, she says, I'm tired and I'm ready. That's what she said, you know? And so the thing is, if God were to call you home now, are you ready? Are you ready to follow him to the other side? See? And this is what we have to realize and say and ask of ourselves. And so in fifth chapter of chapter 13, it says, Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds, tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for the possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. So here it seems to me that things were okay until wealth began to become the subject. You know, it's like the new church starting up. Everybody just loves each other. You know, oh, God bless you, sister. Oh, God bless you, brother. You know, we're starting small. You know, God is going to grow this. We're all happy and just knowing that. And then the Lord begins to bless. And you know what? I've seen this happen twice. I was part of a growing church that started off with just small. All of a sudden, there were trouble. There was problems. And how did that happen? We stop following God and begin to follow ourselves. You see, I think about this. This even goes like into marriages. This goes into every facet of life as a Christian. When things are going bad, why did they go bad? Was it because I took my eyes off of him? Or is it because things are just going bad? And if things are just going bad, then who am I going to continue to trust? I'm going to continue to trust in him. I'm going to continue to trust in the Lord. I'm going to continue. I'm going back to that place where I built the altar. I'm going to the altar. I'm going back. And see, this is what we need to do. Rather than walking away from the altar, we need to come back. And we need to lift our hands and say, oh God, I don't know what's going on, but I need you right now. I need a touch. I need a healing. You know what? Some people need more of a spiritual healing I believe that spiritual healing outweighs any healing that anyone could ever need physically. Amen. People are so mentally messed up, so spiritually messed up. And I wish I was saying, I'm talking about the world. I'm talking about people in church are messed up. We hear it. We hear it's like, who are you following? Because, you know, I'm convinced if I'm following God, I'm fine. Even in the storm, I'm doing okay. I don't like it. I don't like being thrown, tossed to and fro and beat up and all that. But you know what? I'm still going to follow him. And that's the thing that we have to do. I am determined to follow him no matter what. I would rather go through hell on earth following Christ than to have a peaceful life here on the earth. And have men say, boy, he had a peaceful life. He was rich. He had everything. No, I would rather die poor, but rich in him. Amen. See, following God is very important. Don't say that you're a Christian and you're not following him. It's just as simple as that. Don't put on a police uniform if you're not a police. But you know what? We put on that uniform of Christianity. We wear it. We have our big old badge of faith. Yeah, I have faith. And as soon as the tsunami of problems come, it's wipe out. Where are they? They're gone. They have ran away. What happened to their faith? See, the world is getting messed up by us. We're claiming we love God. We're claiming we have the faith. And then they see us, which we're going to see here. They're going to see us just like the Canaanites and the Perizzites. They're seeing these guys. They're fighting. Well, wait a minute. I thought your guys, God was greater than mine. And see, when we do that, the world looks at us and go, I think we're doing better than that. And we're not even serving God. See, we have to get back. We have to be like the guys were, the people were in Acts chapter 2. Be of one accord. Be of one mind. Everyone is saying, this is the direction we're going to go. And what direction is that? We're following the GPS, which is the Holy Spirit, and he's leading us closer and closer to God rather than further and further away. Because, see, the further away we get from God, the more we turn to self. And then we're following ourselves rather than God. So they had all this land, and they're fighting. The shepherds are fighting, and everybody's just fighting everything. You know, it kind of reminds me of a pastor having a church. And all of a sudden, because it's getting so big, people are fighting each other. No, I'm supposed to have Bible study here. I was the one that paid for this. You see those plaques on the wall? My family did. We bought that plaque. You see the front rows chairs up there? Our family did that. And all of a sudden becomes an ownership. And it's like, hey, what happened to God? What happened to, hey, look what God blessed us with. Rather than only, this is great to have a place like this because no one can say, oh, I did this, oh, I did that, you know? I mean, there are some people say, oh, I vacuumed the floor. So in the seventh verse, and there was strife. I forgot to look at my watch to see what time I started. And there was strife between the herdmen and Abram's livestock and the herdmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. And I thought, that's strange. It's like, okay, there was this strife going on. But meanwhile, there was the Canaanites and the Perizzites. I was like, it's almost like, huh? And so it kind of reminds me, it was like, and there was the church, the people of God. And then there was the world. And what was the world doing? Looking at the church. And what was the church doing? Fighting. And they're going, wow, look at that. Those are supposed to be people of God. Those are supposed to be the people who have their things together. And they're fighting. See, again, it comes back, who are you following? Who are we following? Are we following our own ambitions? Are we following our own heart? So Abram in the eighth verse, he says, so Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. We are brethren. We shouldn't be fighting. We're children of God. We shouldn't be bickering. We shouldn't be backstabbing. If we're truly following God, if we truly have faith, if we truly say that God is in control, then why does the church seem to be out of control? Why does the single life in the church seem out of control? Do you know that if Satan can tear down the family structure, he is destroying the church? If he is in your marriage, he is destroying the church. And the only way he can do that is if we're following ourselves, if we're going to Egypt. Because, see, when we're in Egypt, we got to do some things that we didn't expect to do. We start to say things and do things that we weren't supposed to do. But I really love it, why it says that he went back to the place where he started, that place of the altar. And again, that's what we need to do. We need to come back to our first love. So he's saying, hey, look, there's plenty of space for us. Let us not fight over this. We're family. We're a family of God. And ninth verse, is it not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. So I thought that was pretty interesting. You know, Abraham was saying, hey, you go to the left, I'll go to the right. Whatever direction you go, I'll go the opposite. And so what does he do? He stays there and he's looking. And here in the 10th verse, it says, and Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. So Lot went east, Abraham went west. But isn't it interesting? If he truly had the heart, he would have said, you know what, uncle? God has called you. You make the choice. And if you go to the left, I'll go to the right. And if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. But what did he do? Instead, he looked. Boy, that sure looked good over there. Nice and round and green. Look at all those trees. That side over there doesn't look too good. You know, Unc, I think I'll take this direction. And that's the direction he took. He went toward Sodom and Gomorrah. He went there, not even knowing that the time is going to come where he's going to lose everything there. See, and that's the thing we don't know. We don't know these things. And so what I think, and I'm saying here, is like, who are we in Christ? And is our profession true when we say we are following the way of the Lord? Or does our life reflect the life of Lot, who seems to rather follow his own ambitions rather than following Christ? Rather than saying, you, it is God that has called you. I'm on this journey because of you. If you were not on this journey, I wouldn't even be here. So it's you. You make the choice. And so again, it comes down to making the right choice. Who are you going to follow? And see, the right represents following God. The left represents following your own heart. He chose to go to the left. And so the question is, which direction have you chosen to go? To the left or right? Because see, the way Lot was looking, it kind of reminds me sometimes when churches are in need, the body of Christ is in need. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they probably need some help over there, but oh, this side is so much better. It's warm, it's cold outside. You know, I'll pray that you guys will get more help. I'll pray that God will bless your ministry. Oh, you need more kids, more teachers for the kids? I'll pray that God, I will be there praying with you. But you know what? They chose the left. And that's what's going on in our churches today. People are choosing to go to the left because, you know, God forbid, if I go to the right, I may have to do something. I may have to get in the ministry. I may have to give my total life to Christ. But isn't that what we're saying in the first place when we say that, Lord, wherever you go, I will follow? Ruth said that to Naomi. Did Ruth go a total different direction than Naomi did? No. She said, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Wherever you go, I'm going. And seeing that should be our confession to God. And we, as the people of God, should be living that life in the body of Christ. I'm telling you, the body of Christ should have no want. How can it need the one? If we're truly following what God has laid out for us, the plan that he has laid out for the body of Christ, then the body of Christ should not be in need of anything. We should be better than the new church that happened in Acts. We should be on top of it. God, you said it. I'm doing it. I'm going that way. I'm following the GPS, the true GPS. I'm following the Holy Spirit because every time I go to the left, things get messed up. You know what? Pastors have sat before marriages so many times and talked with people, spoken to their marriage, show them the Word of God, speak to them the Word of God, and to see them get up and go total to the left. And you go, ay, I'm not even Jewish, but ay, ay. You know, it's like, you're kidding me. Can you imagine somebody drives up and go, hey, I'm looking to go to Dos Palos. I know I'm heading west, but which direction is Dos Palos? And you go, oh, it's simple. Just get back out there in 152, then you make a left and head east. Well, thank you very much. And they continue west. You would think to yourself, what a dummy. I just told him to go this way and he went that way. Well, see, that's what goes on in the life of Christians at times, especially when the pastors or someone who's following the word of God saying, this is the direction you go, and you end up going to the left. Why? Because I may have to do something over there. I may actually have to change my life. I may actually have to start listening to what the Spirit of God is saying to me. And see, so there he is. He's standing there and he chooses the best rather than saying, "Uncle, you make the choice." But here's something that I think should have happened. Hey, you're a leader, I'm a leader. Let's talk to these herdsmen and let's tell them things are going to work out or else. Because in those days, they could say "or else." And these days, you say "or else," everybody say, "Well, see you later. I'm going to go somewhere else." Because see, the thing is, people today don't like to hear the truth. They don't want to hear, "Hey, you know what, brother? You're going the wrong direction." "Well, who are you telling me I'm going the wrong direction?" "Well, why are you here?" Because they're trying to, you know, sometimes people, they want answers, but they don't want the right answer. They want the answer that's going to fit into their mode. And I'll tell you what, I have learned the hard way. When I take God's answer, it fits perfectly. I may have to go through something, but it fits perfect. And I say, "Thank you, Lord, for sending me in the right direction. Thank you, Lord, that I didn't go to Egypt. Because when I was in Egypt, I got beat up there." But again, people just they keep going back to Egypt. They keep going the wrong direction. Here's the altar. I mean, half the time, you got to beg people to come to the altar. And it's like, okay, what kind of heart is that? You know the Lord is speaking to your heart. Come to the altar. And you know, then the guy has to get up again and say it again because God is really speaking to his heart. "Hey, there's somebody out there that needs a touch from the Lord." And you know what? That getting up, not coming forward, that is a sign is that, you know what, I'm going to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit of God is saying to me now. I'm not going to go to the left. I'm going to go to the right way. I'm going back to the altar. And see, there's not one person in here, including myself, there's not that time you need to come back to the altar. You need to say, "Lord, you know what, I left the first works. I left that part that you told me that I was supposed to do. I'm just so stuck in myself. I don't even care what's going on in the church anymore. I don't even pray for the pastors and their wives. I just don't care. All I care about is me." And so, wow, that's a nice looking land over there. I think I'll choose this instead. Because you know what? A lot of times, we're always willing to choose the easy way out. And so, and that's what Lot did. Then it says here in 12th verse, "Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord." You know what's interesting about this story? You see, he did it far off. He was far. Oh, those people, they're wicked. But he ends up being a part of the city of Sodom. He ended up becoming a high shot in Sodom. He was bad now. He got corrupted. But you know what? See, a lot of times what we'll do, we go, "Well, that doesn't look right, but I'll just linger around it. I won't be a part of it." You know, but you know what? You keep going, because pretty soon you're right in the middle of it. You're right on the council, on the city of, you know, on the city council of going the wrong direction, of idol worshipers, of people that are evil. And see, and this is what happens when we continue to think about what is easy for me to do. And then and in all reality, the easier thing to do is to follow Christ. He is the one that's going to take you through this life. He is the one that's going to take you through this wilderness that we're in when compared to what God has in store for us. I want what God wants for me. See, I am daily saying, I don't want what I want. I want what God wants in my life. I want to follow his plan of salvation. I want to follow his plan that he has for my life. That's what I want to do. I want to be a part of the body of Christ. I want to be a blessing to people. I don't want to be the one always saying, "Well, I'll pray about it," and that's it. Or always the one to want the prayer. See, we need to stop looking and we need to start putting our eyes on him and following him and leading and allowing him to lead us. So even though Lot did not pitch his tent right up next to Sodom, He was close enough to keep looking, and before you know it, he was drawn to it. Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman and lusts after her has already committed adultery in his heart. There's a lot of times we've committed a wrong before we even physically did it. It was wrong here. That's where it started. I took my eyes off what God had for me to do, and now I am lusting for things or wanting things that I know I should not have. And it all starts here. The death starts here, that spiritual death. And as we will find later on, Lot was dead spiritually. So we have to remember to stay far from those things. And the only way we can do that is to continue to be led by God. And the Lord said to Abram in the 14th verse of 13. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land which you see I give to you and your descendants forever. Now, it was like as soon as this separation had happened, and you know, that's the whole thing about problems. When you begin to have problems, now the word separation begins to be the focal point of your journey in this life. It becomes to be the focal point in your marriage. We're not getting along with each other, so it's time to separate. You know, I don't like the pastor. He's always stepping on our toes with the word. I'm going to go to another church where they have just worship and just praise God. I don't have to hear the word, but we just hear him. Oh, you know, that's the great church. I used to tell people when they used to come to a formerly called Connection Christian Church, they say, well, I'm looking for a church of worship. I used to say, hey, there's this church over here. They have great worship. You know, oh, I'm looking for this. You know, there's a church over there that's just great. And, you know, because I point them to, you know, that's what they want. Because, you know, when you're accused of being the church that just speaks the word of God, I think that's great. I was told that one time. And even this, even being here at Connection, we've heard it too. Oh, those people, they're too much in the Bible. They don't let the Spirit move. You know, guess what they just did? They're looking to the east. You see? I don't want to look to the east. I want to look to the west. I want to follow the Lord. And seeing that's what we are to do, to follow. So, I digress. But anyway, 16th verse. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth. Wait a minute, what did I do here? Okay, I'm back where I'm supposed to be. 12th verse again. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. So he chose a place that he thought was great and wonderful, close to a place where they were wicked, their hearts was nowhere near God. And you know what? When you really think about it, are we not living in a place similar to that? So how close are we to that? How much are we into that? Me, it's like a, and I'm going to be truthful with you. Some of that stuff, it's like a magnet. It draws you. And if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit of God, I would be caught up in it. I'm just telling you the truth. I know I would. I'd be caught up in it. But I thank God through Christ that he has given me and you the power to stay away from that. And his name is the Holy Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit that keeps us pure. It's the Holy Spirit that continues to lead us away from that. We get drawn a little bit, and we pull, you know. Oh, Abram, he got drawn to Egypt, but he came back. He was back to the altar. It's always back to the altar, back to the altar. And again, that's where we all need to be, back to the altar. And then, and it said that the Lord said to Abraham after Lot left, I want to go back to that. No matter what goes on in our lives, when we focus back on him, it's like the Lord says, now I have something to tell you. And see, after the bickering and the separation happened, he went to Abram and says, now, let me remind you of the promise that I have for you. Look around, look at the east, the west, the north. Even though Lot chose the east, guess what? It still belonged to Abram. It still did. You know why it belonged to him? Because it belonged to God. And because God owned it, he said, it's all yours. And what if Lot would have just stayed with Abram? That would have been his too. But he made a fleshly choice. And again, God has so much in store for you and I. But we miss out on it because we make the bad choices. We're looking for greener pastures. We're looking at something that, you know what? I want those automatic sprinklers. I remember when I was growing up, I pushed lawnmower. Boy, I was so happy when I got that vroom, that string pull lawnmower, and I could just follow. You know, it was one thing to have a lawnmower that just had a motor on it, but you know what? It was another thing when you can hold down that thing and it just pulls you along. That's when I thought, I go, now we're talking. I'm just following it, you know? And so the thing is, this is what we become. We want it easy. We want it really easy, you know? When I drive up to a window to be served, I want it now. Why should I have to wait 1 minute? I was back there ordering it. You should have had it on and ready for me when I got there. You know, we're like, come on. And when we don't get it, when we think we should, then I'm going to go to another place. And so that's the way we are sometimes even in church, in the body of Christ. Sometimes that's the way we are with God. Oh, God, you're taking so long. I'll take care of myself. And we get in trouble and what happens? Oh, God, help me. We cry out to God. But you know what? I hope that when you or I make a mistake, I hope we did what he did. Go back to the altar. And I like it says, here God had told him to arise in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Then Abraham moved his tent and went and dwelt by the timbrenth trees of Mamre, which are in Haran, and built an altar there to the Lord. Again, there's the altar. You wanted, I bet you could tell every place that he was at. Every place that he stopped, it was like he built an altar. But there was one place he didn't build an altar, and that was in Egypt. You know why? Because he wasn't supposed to be there. But everywhere he went, he would build an altar. And I really love the way it says here, built an altar there to the Lord. And you know what he did? He called upon the name of the Lord. He called upon his name, went to the altar, and he called upon the name of the Lord. And seeing that's what we should do. See, if I'm following Christ, if I'm seeking to do his will, then I'm going to be just as blessed as Abraham. I'm going to be just as rich as Abraham. Maybe not in the physical, but in the spiritual. I am going to be rich in him. Follow God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Follow him. Because you know what? It's so easy to follow our way. That's easy. That's so easy. I'm going to go my direction. But let's struggle and let's, you know, like I said, if I'm going to struggle, may it be that I am struggling to continue to keep my eyes on him and follow him and not myself. Because I'll tell you what, people of God, the body of Christ is in so much need of true pilgrims who are not looking at this place, but is looking at the next place. So come, let us follow God together. Let us be in one accord. Because every time I see that word, one accord, it seems like God is moving there. God doesn't move in separation. He moves when people are of one mind and one accord. Amen? Amen? Amen. Father God, I thank you so much for all you are and who you are. I thank you, Lord, that even when we're stubborn, even when we choose to go the wrong direction, even when we just mess things up, you're still there. And Lord, if we could come to our senses and just go back to the altar, go back to that place, come back to the first love, you are there, Lord. You never leave us. It is we who leave you. And Father, I have to ask you, forgive us. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us, Lord, when we choose to go to the left rather than to the right. Forgive us, Lord, when our hearts become full of lust and greed. Lord, help us, Lord, I pray. Help us, Lord, to truly be one in you, to truly show the world, Lord, that as we follow you, that they will see the love of you in us. May we, Lord, be true representations of you. May we be true ambassadors, Lord. May the world see us, Lord, and when they see us, I just pray that they see you so clear. Lord, the world is searching. They're searching for a love. They're searching for a meaning. And Lord, I just pray that you use your people to show them that you are real. We thank you, Father, for all the things that you do. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the death and the resurrection of your son, Jesus. And Lord, we can never pay you back. But I do pray, Lord, that we will follow you and follow your plan. In Jesus' name, amen.